With me in studio is Gideon Novick. He's, of course, a former joint CEO of Comair, and he founded the exciting airline Kalula.com. He also had a stint at Discovery as the CEO of its Vitality division. Gideon, welcome to the MoneyWeb studio. You have certainly been around in the corporate space. You've been heading up big ventures for 15 years. You're now one of the co-founders of a 12J venture, Lucid Ventures. It started in 2016. Is it significantly different from the official corporate space, if I can put it like that?
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, it is. It's really hard to start things. I think in my early days at Kalula, I was quite spoiled because even though we were starting something new, we had a lot of infrastructure behind us. We were part of a bigger entity and, you know, we had a lot of the support. Whereas starting a new fund and going out and searching for our first round of capital is hard work. You know, it's hard to convince people to part with their money. It's hard to convince people to invest in South Africa today. Building the fund has been a challenge and we've done well and, you know, we're happy with where we are. And then building underlying businesses is also tough, but it's fun and it's exhilarating and it makes one feel alive to get into new things.
How long did it take you to get your first round?
The first round was mine, so it didn't take that long. It's funny how things work. I was just leaving Discovery at the time and I had quite a lot of taxable income in that particular year. The thought of paying over such a significant amount of tax wasn't a great thought, and then this 12J thing came into my awareness that there's this 100% tax deduction. And like anything, it's complex and there were a lot of hoops and hurdles to get over to become a registered 12J fund. But that was really the start of Lucid and the start of, I guess, this very interesting new chapter.
But Lucid is interesting. You invest in intangible businesses, hotels and leisure type of businesses. So tell us about Lucid and what you actually want to achieve.
Fundamentally, we invest in hotels. We've identified a niche, a gap, whatever you want to call it, in the market. So what's happened in the hotel industry, and you'll be well aware of it in the last 5 to 10 years, is that Airbnb's become a massive, has had a massive impact and has dramatically changed the landscape of hotels and the way that hotels are presented and marketed. And there's quite a lot of appealing factors to a hotel guest of staying in a local environment, being in a less formal setting, a more homely environment, and obviously having access to much more stock than what was available 10 years ago. So that was very interesting to us. But at the same time, there's quite a strong need, certainly for the kind of clients that we're targeting, to have the infrastructure of a traditional hotel, the security, the safety, the predictability of a traditional hotel. And really the model that we're building with Home Suite Hotels, which is our brand, is a convergence of this kind of Airbnb world, if you want to call it that. And it's not just Airbnb. There's many other online travel agencies like Booking.com, for example, that are changing the landscape. But the convergence of the new hotel environment with traditional hotels. And I think we've come up with something quite special in the middle.
It is indeed a niche concept, but we are seeing tough economic times in South Africa. We are seeing pressure on the tourism numbers, especially foreign tourists. And we have seen many hotels coming online in recent years. And there's some suggestions there may be even an oversupply of beds in this industry. How do you compete in that environment?
So firstly, there's, and I learned this, I guess, in my airline days. Hotels, much like airlines, is a cyclical industry. So they're big cycles. The cycles can last for many years. And one largely can't control the cycles. What one can do is have a long-term view and have a view to acquiring assets that are quality assets. In the hotel context, these are properties in prime areas and these are quality properties that we know in time will be valuable. And I think that's the way that we get our heads around, are there too many beds, too few beds? That will always be the case in the hotel industry. Just a note on tourism, Rake, is that, you know, South Africa's sitting at somewhere around 2 million tourists, and I'm talking about tourists from countries with proper spending power. If you compare that to in global terms, there's about 1 billion global tourists, over 1 billion on an annual basis. And we looked at a very interesting study of Croatia, which is a country that more and more people are going to visit. But Croatia was at war not so long ago, and they have 20 million annual tourists. So the bottom line, in our view, is that South Africa is just scraping the surface of the potential of tourism. And that is one thing that we are very optimistic about. And we don't have to do that much right as a country to attract many, many more tourists.
But we're not doing the right things. We've seen this idiotic visa regime. There's a lot of talk that it will be changed, but it's not changing. We're seeing a lot of crime. We're seeing a lot of headwinds for tourism. Is there anything that industry can do to try and improve that situation?
Those are frustrating things. At the highest of levels, President talks about tourism and seems intent on opening up the potential of South African tourism. If you just look at the job-creating potential of tourism, and I'll talk about hotels specifically, building a new hotel results in 3 jobs for every room built, 3 construction jobs. So obviously, if we continually build hotels, those are the kind of numbers you're looking at. Take a 50-room hotel, that's 150 jobs. On an ongoing basis, a hotel requires on average, one employee per room that's built on an ongoing basis. So you're talking about an industry that, you know, South Africa's actually, we're perfectly positioned to take advantage of tourism, and we've got to get over the crazy stuff that's been happening in the past with visas and things like that.
Let's talk about the hotels. How many hotels do you have interests in?
If you include the ones that we're busy developing, there's 7. In total, some of them we manage ourselves and some of them we have agents that manage them on our behalf. But the goal really is to build this chain of boutique hotels, specifically targeting business travelers, frequent business travelers, as well as a tourist that is not a first-time tourist. In other words, a tourist that knows what they want, they know where they're going to stay, and they're looking for a high-quality boutique product. They don't want to stay in a 200-room hotel. They want to feel the area and the environment that they're in, but they want to feel safe and secure, and they want the facilities that go with it.
How much money have you sourced from investors or through this 12JA structure?
So our total at the moment is 350 million rand. I think it places us in the top 3 of 12JA funds. As you'll know, there's been a very large number of new funds that have come on stream. Many of the funds are kind of private funds and not marketed broadly. So that's our investment. I mean, we have roughly 150 unique investors that have invested with us.
Are you allowed to use debt funding to supplement those investments?
You are, absolutely. You can either take on debt at the holding company level or the venture capital company level or in the underlying entities. Our preference is to stay away from debt. You talked about the tough economy. We don't want to have to, I guess it's one of the beauties about the 12JA model is that one can raise equity finance, not have to be burdened by debt. And our view on debt is that when we need to plan for investor exits after 5 years, that will be the time that we can look at refinancing some of our portfolio.
And one of the big marketing points is that you invest in physical property. Obviously, that has a capital value and it appreciates. And many of the 12Js have, the entrepreneurs behind us I've spoken to, have said that that's one of the most attractive things about 12Js. Of course, as a 12J, you're not allowed to invest in property as the main business. You
Correct.
Can create a going concern which uses property. Is that one of the big attractive characteristics of this fund?
Most definitely. I think, you know, to raise money in South Africa today, with the risk elements that one's dealing with at a political level, at a currency level, it's difficult. 12J obviously makes it a lot easier and certainly creates an opportunity. But the caveat, certainly that we've seen, is that investors want to know that there's an underpin, that if the business doesn't perform or things go, you know, are challenging at a business level, there's an asset, a real asset that underpins it.
Your internal rate of return target is around 17%. Now, most venture capital businesses would target around 25%. Is that 17% not perhaps too low?
No. If anything, I think it's too high because, again, it's all relative to the risk that one's prepared to take. Bear in mind, roughly half of that 17% is just your tax deduction amortized over the period of your investment. Our assumption is a five-year term because that's the minimum 12J term. So at a business level, we're talking about 8% or 9%. And that's a combination of capital growth and your income from the underlying hotel businesses. So if anything, I think one should be more conservative in terms of targeting of return. and in doing so, make sure that the underpin is there and that one's not taking unnecessary risk. And obviously, one has to understand the power of compounding, because if you're doing that over 4 years, 4 to 5 years, you're doubling your capital, which should be good enough.
Well, if you strip out the 8%, performance of the Lucid should be around 9 or 10%. That doesn't seem to be too aggressive either.
Yeah, I think that's right. And obviously, we set ourselves targets and objectives to do better than that. But, you know, I'm learning in the investor space to rather under-promise and hopefully in time over-deliver.
You've started in 2016. It is 2019 now. How has the performance been?
It's been decent. It's early days. You know, most of our capital has gone into the ground in terms of building these beautiful hotels. The return does take time in terms of actual dividend payments. We've got to build the hotels. We've got to get the hotels up and running. We've got to find our guests to stay in the hotels. So that's a process of a couple of years. But in terms of the assets that we've acquired and what we can see in terms of the value that we're creating in terms of the underlying assets, it's looking good.
Taxpayers who use this 12J opportunity need to be locked in for 5 years to reap the full benefit. So from 2021 onwards, you will maybe be faced with some investors trying to exit the ventures. How does that process work?
It's really important to investors, and I'm an investor, and it's important to me too, that I have at least the option to exit after 5 years. I think our job as an asset manager will be to create a strong enough proposition that you don't want to exit. Remember, when you exit, you're going to pay capital gains tax, and one can defer that for as long as you stay invested. So our objective will be to provide a strong enough annual return that you won't want to exit. But if you do want to exit, we will make that available, either through refinancing or creating a listed structure like a REIT. And obviously, the fallback position is that we can actually sell off hotels or individual units within the hotels.
Could that result in some liquidity challenges for the fund at that stage?
I think if everybody comes to us on December the 31st on year five, and says, can I have my money back tomorrow? Yes, most definitely. But given that our underlying units are patently sellable, we can create that liquidity over a reasonable period of time, say 6 months.
Well, thank you for coming in and good luck with this venture. I think it's an interesting venture, and I always like it when we see investment going into fixed assets, and that's good for the country and good luck.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rick.
That was Gidon Novick. He is one of the principals behind the new Lucid Ventures Fund.